Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern, custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Disembodied voice, yeah, disembodied voice. Hello and welcome in to Act 2 of the Monday edition of the Eric Zane Show podcast from the Impact Power Sports Studio. First off, Rebecca is here, and she wasn't here for the first part of the show. And I talked about you and your efforts in Fatathon, where you dropped 3.1. Outstanding work. What was your goal weight again? I joked that it was 280. You're at 287.7. I think, and then I described you as wanting to be a woman who looks like she could throw a shot put like a mile. Goal weight of 200. Are you tall? You know, because if you're like 5'2 and 200, that's fucking horrible. You can't possibly want that. You can't be like little. Oh, okay. She's definitely taller. I mean, she's taller than I am. She's 5'9". You must have been like an athlete in high school or something like that. Some type of sports. Maybe like volleyball or basketball or track. Outstanding effort on your part there. I noticed that in your data that you have a lot of muscle. I don't know how this happens, but for Rebecca and Amanda, they'll send me their weight. And then it also includes their body composition. Like it has lean body mass, 164.2 pounds for Rebecca of lean body mass. It even tells me how much her bones weigh. It says here that her bones weigh 10.1 pounds. I would have thought that bones would have been heavier than 10.1 pounds. How does one go about getting this data? Because is this like some scale that does all this shit for you? She says, I wasn't joking about the muscle mass. I pack a lot of muscle. That's why 200 is my goal. I have an awesome scale by Wise. It does all that for me. Yeah, I got to get one of those. And you're essentially a brick shit house. You know that song by the Commodores? Ow, she's a brick house. That would be you. I still think that I could kick your ass, though. You strike me as the type of person who wouldn't hesitate to punch me in the face. Jeremy says, dumb question. I don't think it is. But how does the scale differentiate between muscle mass, bones, and fat? You might have to input some information to it ahead of time. I'm not sure how that works, But if you look up WYZE, W-Y-Z-E scale or whatever, I'm sure you can figure it out. But outstanding. Okay. Murder lover Linda is here. She says, I'd pay to watch that fight. Tofus says, Easy wants you to beat him into submission. Rebecca says that that scale is on Amazon. Outstanding. All right. I want to get into this story about the adventure that Pooh Bear and I went on this weekend. So we drive all the way to Columbus, Ohio to go to what's known as the world's largest independent bookstore, or one of America's largest independent bookstore. I had the info wrong earlier. I was describing it as the largest bookstore in America. But what you got here is in this community of Columbus, Ohio, it's known as German Village, which I didn't know anything about. I've never heard of German Village. And what this community is it's a portion of the area of Columbus that, like literally in the 1700s, some German dude bought all of these parcels of land. And then over the years, as people would come into the U.S., like the word got out in Germany that, hey, you can get some land from this guy. And he would parcel it out to German people only. So from that, the Germans, the Germans. Remember that Mr. Burns clip? Ooh, the Germans are mad at me. Ooh, the Germans. I got to hear it now. Ooh, the Germans, Mr. Burns. Ooh, the Germans are coming. Stop it, Mr. Burns. Stop it, Mr. Burns. Stop acting like you are mad, Mr. Burns. Mm-hmm.
This is my offer. I think you'll find it's most unfair, but those are the breaks.
But, Mr. Burns, this is half of what we paid you.
That's my final offer. Take it or leave it.
All right, Mr. Burns. You win, but beware. We Germans aren't all smiles and sunshine.
Ooh, the Germans are mad at me. I'm so scared. Ooh, the Germans. Uh-oh, the Germans are coming to get me.
Easy,
oh, don't let the Germans come after
me. Please stop the pretending you're scared game.
Stop it. No, they're so big and strong.
Stop it, Mr. Burns.
Pretending you're scared of us, please.
Burns, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that clip in so long. So Germans come to Columbus, they buy parcels of land from this fucker, and they start building all of these. It's like little Bavaria, cobblestone streets, all brick houses, old as fuck, big as shit, and super old. And so the loft went and they bought. Okay, so on one street, you got one house, and then the next block facing the opposite direction is another house. They bought both and combined them. Like, they actually built it so the space between would connect the houses. So you have one huge house. And when you walk in, it's every room is wall-to-wall shelves, from floor to ceiling shelves. And there's 32 rooms in this house. Every single one of them, except for the bathroom, has shelves. And a lot of observations that I made about this place. First of all, let me back up. When we're driving there, we're driving across Ohio, and all of a sudden, it starts raining. And I look, and it's 31 degrees. And it isn't too long before ice is built up on the front of the car, and the signs. It's an ice storm. We're passing the signs, and there's ice on. Ice is everywhere. And then, like, very, very quickly, cars start flying off the road. And I'm like, oh, shit, this could get ugly. But we managed. Tons of slide-offs. I just slowed it down, no big deal. And there was lots of examples of people ripping by me, and then they would wind up in the ditch, and then I would drive by like, ah, fuck you. Is there anything better than that? When someone goes by you at a high rate of speed, and and you know they shouldn't be going that fast, and they know they shouldn't be going, oh, fuck, oh, no, my car's in the ditch, oh, someone help me. Fuck you. Okay? So there wasn't really anything eventful on the ride there. Again, this is 5 hours to go to the bookstore with Pooh Bear. And it turns out that I scored a lot of Pooh Bear points. She actually, when we got back, she said, I can't thank you. Thank you so much for taking me. Thank you. That was so great. I loved it so much. I go, ahead. Yeah. It's fine. Of course, I fucked it all up when I got pissed off at her last night. And she let Benny out and left him outside. And he wandered away in the middle of the night. Fucking Super Bowl's on. He takes off. And then someone says, where's Benny? And she goes, oh, I forgot to let him in. And he found his way out of the yard, and we found him like a couple doors down. And I'm like, he could have been gone forever. I'm so fucking pissed. I pointed my finger out. I go, if he'd have been lost, it's your fault. And she goes, oh, fuck you. Fuck you. You do the same thing. So she got so pissed off at me. And then I walked up behind her, and I grabbed a strand of hair and pulled it because she was so pissed, and I was so pissed. And then she had a plastic bowl in her hand because she was emptying the dishwasher, and she swung a fucking round at me. It just hit me right in the elbow with that bowl, and I was like, ah, ah, ah. See, that's what you get, you fuck. She's so pissed off. It was great. We made love. Kidding about the made love part. Everything else happened. So anyway. Maureen says you pulled her hair. What the fuck, Eric? No, I pulled a hair. One hair. You dumb fucks. Are you suggesting that I went and grabbed her hair and was pulling her hair? You asshole. You guys don't listen. I said I grabbed a hair and pulled her hair. Like pulled it out and was holding it in front of her. Jesus, what a bunch of sensitive fucking cunty assholes. Eat shit. She laughed it off and swung at me. God damn. Give me benefit of the doubt, you morons. What a bunch of dicks. You know what? I'm in a banning mood. I will absolutely throw you the fuck out. You pulled her hair? What the fuck? Oh, no. What are you doing? Do you not listen? Jesus. You want me to get her on and have her explain it to you, you dumb shits? Piano Fingerbanger says, damn, this podcast is becoming more abusive than living in Diddy's house. That's a good joke. Anyway, I walk into the bookstore, and I've come to the conclusion that people who God, I cannot keep my fucking brain together today. Let me back up. When I'm walking through that bookstore, I have talked many times about how if I am in a couple of particular places, like a home improvement store or a library or a bookstore, I have to go number two. All right? And so I walk in, and I don't, but I had to go number one. So I said to the guy at the front desk, I go, hey, where's your restroom? He goes, oh, you got to wait for the key. I'm like, what the fuck? Is this a gas station? And somebody comes down with a key, and it's like on this big piece of wood screwed into it, hanging by a chain. And he goes, yeah, here you go. Here's the bathroom. Oh, my God. I go, all right, where is it? Up the steps. You got to walk by the platform 9 3/4, whatever. I walk in, and it's small. I go tinkle. All right, great. I get out. I walk back. I give the key back. Pooh Bear is gone. She's buying books. She bought 7 books. She got her little basket around her arm, and she got what she wanted. Now, I didn't buy any books. I don't, you know. It also came to my into my brain that people who read are fucking weird. I can't tell you how strange it felt to walk around that place with people who love to read. What a weird group of people. My God. I don't know what it was, and I don't know if it was because of the reading or because of what I found out later on. But everybody there was just, I had a feeling like everyone was a lot different than I was. I was texting Nick in the arena, and I'm like, yeah, dude, look at this. And you walk in, and the first books you see are like, the book Gender Queer. Get it while it's still here, because I guess it's being banned or something. I don't know. And then it says, get this book. And there's a book called Flamer. And then there's a whole section about, like, you know, all the woke stuff. And I'm like, what's going on here at this bookstore? And then I found out after the fact that German Village is like, of all of the gay communities in the Midwest, German Village is the gayest. So they've got this enormous local independent bookstore in the gayest part of the Midwest. And everyone in there, I think they let me in knowing, I mean, I don't look gay, but everyone in there looks super gay. Pooh Bear doesn't look gay. I don't look gay, and I think they knew it, you know? Like, when the guy gave me the key, he gave me a look like, yeah, don't pull any fucking fast ones on us here, asshole. So it was super gay, and that's cool. You know how I am about my beloved gay friends. But it made for me, I just didn't feel like I belonged there. You know, even though they're probably the most accepting people on the planet, I don't know. It was just, I chalked it up to people who read books are weird. And in a lot of ways, that's a little bit true. You know, I think you have to be a little bit fucked up to want to read. I know that sounds weird, but I mean, seriously. Who has fucking time to read, I guess, is what I'm getting at. You know, I mean, my God. So anyway, I'm surrounded by all these weirdos, and but the place was great because, like I said, there's 32 rooms, and I love hiding spots, and I love exploring, like, especially old buildings. So I'm just using it. There's like 2-3 levels of this place, so I'm going up steps and wandering. I'm getting lost, and I pass this one area. Now, not only are all these twisting hallways and shelves perfect for exploring and hiding, that type of, like, environment with all the hallways, and it's very close, the hallways, because of the shelves sticking out, are like submarine hallways. It is an ideal area to trap fart. And someone farted, and it wasn't me, and totally crop dusted, and it gave me the impression that the structure was excellent for capturing fart, because when I walked through it, I went right away, and I knew it, and I kind of like I walked through the fart, and now I'm past it, and I'm pulling some fart behind me. So the fart closest to me is somewhat weak, but still there. It's followed me. It's on me. So after getting through fart, I'm like, all right, I got to experience this again, and I got to try to find out where this came from. So I walked back into fart, and I could detect it. And then as I got closer to ground zero, it's like, okay, so now I'm at the fart. And I look around, and there's no one to be seen. And I'm like listening for where people were, and I'm in this Chernobyl zone of fart. And I'm like, boy, this really was here. It was just hanging. Okay. So then after that phenomena was experienced to its fullest, like, I got to get the fuck out of here. And I didn't want people to think I did it, you know? So I did. I wandered away and searched for more hiding spots. I will say that every book there is marked down by 5 to 90%. Because when I was texting Nick in the arena, I go, hey, you might want to read this book. And it was that book, Flamer. And he laughed and he goes, it seems like a woke place. He goes, go ask if they have a copy of the book, Black Lives Matter. And I go, what is that? And he goes, oh, yeah, you'll get a real rise out of them. Either that or ask for the Ben Shapiro section of books. And I'm like, oh, shit, I know what you're doing. You're trying to get me in trouble. So I didn't do that. But I continued to walk through the bookstore. And about the time that I was done exploring every one of the rooms, and I'm trying, like, locked doors. I'm trying to get into places that I shouldn't be. That's the ultimate. When you can have an old building, you get lost in a spot where you aren't supposed to be. That's fun shit. But while I was doing that, I told you I'd use the restroom, and then I gave the key back to the guy. And several things tell me that this is a the type of establishment like I was particularly, like I was describing to you. You know, it's in gay German village, gay books the second you walk in. Everybody in there is gay. I'm expecting to see people BFing when I go around the corner or chowing muff. And also, a lot of people have masks on. Okay? And then the guy behind the cash register, he's got one of those COVID shields all around him. Like plexiglass. Like hanging down by chains to keep the COVID off him. So this is, they are still, it is the height of COVID in this place. And, you know, when in Rome, if I had a mask, I would have put it on. But, so these are all things that tell me that I'm in a place that is just different than most places. Okay? And they're not afraid to show it, which I applaud that. So I walk back. Like I said, I'm getting lost. I smell fart, looking for people BFing. And then it happens. After I've just returned from giving the guy the key to go tinkle, I then have to take a dump. I'm like, oh, no. Books are diuretic to me. So I'm like, okay. But now I feel bad because I got to go back to the same guy and ask him for the key, you know? So sure enough, actually I said to Diane, I go, hey, are you almost ready? And she goes, why? I go, well, I got to go poo. And she goes, well, why don't you just use it? And so I explained to her, I go, I don't know. I feel bad. I already used it once. And I don't know. I don't want to, it's not great. It's just weird. And she goes, well, I still have another 15 rooms to look through all the books. I'm like, God damn. All right. So I go back and I go, hey, sorry about this. Can I get that key again? So he thinks that I've like have an upset stomach or something. He gives it no problem. It's no big deal. And so that was it, you know. And the problem is that now I'm in a tiny room and I'm concerned about causing a stench outside. You have to time this right. Now, this is an old school toilet. So you like press it and then like the whole 5 gallons has to empty before anything's going to leave, before it's even going to get the chance to evacuate pee, let alone what I was producing, which was a lunker. At the risk of sounding like Amanda, my timing was off. What was happening to me, the timing was poor, and by the time that the water at the bottom of the bowl left to leave the premises, that's when I was detached from the lunker. So the lunker just goes, and it lays on the side of the bowl, and kind of like a J comes out of the bowl. There's no water in the bowl. The bowl starts filling up, and this thing is totally exposed to air. And I'm like, oh, no. Now, thank God there was a fan, but now I have to wait extended time for that fucking thing to fill up before I can actually get it out of the facility. By the time I'm walking out, this is how it was for me. The job is done. I have bathed my hands, and I'm very concerned about me opening that door. Because remember I said, this house was built in the 1850s. Tiny hallways, and I open the door slightly, and I look out, and there's people, and I'm like, oh, shut the door. And I'm like, okay, this is not great, you know? And I'm just wondering what... Now, I'm nose blind at this point, okay? Because I've been exposed to this monstrosity. I don't know where I am, you know? Anyone who has fresh air and then they walk into this dead zone like this, it could be terrible. And I just want to see if... And I look out and... No one is there, but I can only see one direction. I go, time to move. I open the door, and I close it, and I turn around, and I'm face to face with this large black woman. And I go, oops. Ha ha. Now, I know it's out. It's out because she kind of has this look on her face. This is kind of like, ugh. And I move. She's huge. I move to the right, and then she awkwardly moves to the right. And then I move to the left, and she moves to the left. And then she's like, ah, and I'm like, hey, I'll go this way. So I go the same direction she's going. And so I'm going to go and then circle around a couple shelves. And then she walks behind me, and then then I'm gone. God knows what she smelled. Fuck. Very, very bad. And it wasn't much longer that Pooh Bear said, okay, I'm ready to go. Now, this is the only reason why we did this, was to travel all that way. And I figured I didn't want to rush her. So other than the announcement that I had to go to the bathroom, she spent 1 hour inside of this bookstore, more than an hour. We got out of there. We went to the hotel. I discovered that Columbus, Ohio has a lot of immigrants from the country of India. And people who speak English as a second language. And one of those representatives was at the front desk. And the person who relieved her of her duty the next morning was also from India. And so I'm figuring that this is the melting pot going on there. And when we go up, I have decided that there is, of all of the ways you can speak English with the accents that accompany it, like a person who speaks Spanish, let's say a Mexican guy learns English, he speaks English a certain way. I can handle that. One of the ways that I cannot handle the speaking of the English language is when it is a person who is from India or Pakistan. It is remarkably disgusting. It is one of the worst English accents, Indian accent speaking English. Horrible. When I used to go to Catholic Mass, we had Father Rock, who was from India. And it was so fucked up. You know, I couldn't even understand a word that the fucker said. And then he ends up going back to India. So we got a new priest. And it was his name. He's from this guy. The next guy is from Pakistan. So it goes from India to Pakistan. Even worse. And his name was Father Ayub. And Pooh Bear and I changed his name to Father, I can't understand you. And also, we're just sitting there like, oh, what the fuck? Mouths open, flies flying in and out of our mouths. We're just like, it's fucking horrible. So this woman's at the front desk. It took like an hour to check in because Pooh Bear cannot understand her. And Pooh Bear does this thing where she gets impatient. Like, she booked the room. And for whatever reason, something was wrong with the reservation. And it wasn't a big deal. But she gets impatient with people. And now I'm watching this unfold. And I'm like, yeah, don't fucking get pissed at people in the service industry. Just fucking keep your mouth shut. It slows the process down. She can barely understand us. We can barely understand her. Shut the fuck up. Get the goddamn room. We get the fuck out of here. Holy shit. So that happens. We get out of there. After we check in, we go out to eat at a restaurant. We just walked. Outstanding place. Not a lot happened there in that part of the adventure. The bartender did refer to... the bartender was very flirty with Pooh Bear. He's one of these guys, yeah, what do you need? And Pooh Bear says, can you make me a Moscow Mule? And he goes, you betcha, I'll make you the best damn Moscow Mule you'll ever had. So he's like that guy, you know? And then he looks at me and goes, what do you want? I go, I don't know. I actually had a non-alcoholic beer. I go, do you have any non-alcoholic beer? And he says, Bex. I go, that's great. Non-alcoholic beer. I love that. Brings me to the Bex. Only $4, by the way. Fucking great. Pooh Bear wants another drink. She says, he goes, can I get you anything else? And she goes, I want another Moscow Mule. And he goes, you commie? Which was fun. Nice guy. $50, you know. She had two drinks. I had one. And we each had, I had a Reuben, California Reuben. She had half a Reuben and French onion soup. $50, are you kidding me? Cheap ass date. I paid the tip on the final bill with tax added. And it was still a bargain. I went 23%, in case you're wondering. I always go big on the tip. A minimum of that. Then the next day, up, we make our venture back. Adventure in the books. That is it. Nothing bad happened. All good. Nothing to complain about. It was a good time all around. Not my thing, reading or books. At least not right now. I mean, in a year, I might be reading books. I'd like to, I guess, be a weirdo. But nothing right now. I just don't have the time. I do not have the time to do that. Hey, I've got a show coming up at 1 p.m. that you might want to check out. If you go to Who Are These Podcasts YouTube channel or The Creep Off, which is part of the Dabbleverse. But Carl and I are going to be doing the Creep Off today.
Vinny, we are live on YouTube.
Carl and I are going to be doing the Creep Off at 1 p.m. today at this place on YouTube, this spot on YouTube. The show usually is Carl and Vinny Paulino comparing a creepy criminal. So, like, one person might choose some teacher that did something creepy, and the other person might choose, you know, somebody who slept with his kid. And they compare how creepy they are, and then the audience votes as to who is the creepiest of the two. So we'll be doing the Creep Off today. coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Cole says, fuck yeah, I love the creep-off. What's today's category? You know, I don't even know. What did Carl write? I don't think I have a lot of heavy lifting here. EZ, any chance you're available to do the creep-off Monday at 1? Vinny's on vacation. You don't have to prepare. I'll just be reading some crazy stories and we'll watch a cop video. I wrote, sure, I can do that. So that'll be today at 1 o'clock. So it's podcasting literally all day today. So after this show, 1 p.m. the creep-off, then the Patreon bonus podcast. Then I have to go and visit at 5 p.m. with another radio show. Not to actually talk about radio, but I've got yet another radio show that wants to know how it is I do what I do. Because of the demise of the industry as a whole. Radio people left and right are realizing that the end is near. And with that, they don't want to be left holding the bag. So people tap me on my shoulder and say, how did you do this? And I wish there was a magic formula. There isn't. It's essentially a lot of elbow grease and the willingness to do that elbow grease consistently over years. So I have to explain this to another radio show and talk about how this is so that perhaps they might be able to do the same thing. And then the idea was floated to me by Pooh Bear. She said, why don't you start to market yourself to radio shows to prepare for the inevitable so that they can have their own type of safety valve in the event that the rug gets pulled out from under them like you had happen? I go, that's fucking brilliant. She goes, yeah. And then you make them, essentially are a consultant. They hire you. You help them build themselves. And then you just, you know, you charge them by the month a fee. And you can help them with everything that you've learned already. I go, how the fuck did you know this? She goes, I've been thinking about it. I go, oh, that's great. She goes, yeah, you have a master's degree in this, don't you? I go, pretty much. I've got my 10,000 hours. Best practices and whatnot, for sure. She goes, yeah. Piano Finger Banger says, step one, buy an assortment of hoodies. Step two, yell at your audience on a daily basis. Oh, Jesus. You wouldn't have it any other way, honestly. Come on now. All right. So who knows? I'm using this meeting I have today is kind of like a template. If this show is successful, I had a conversation with some radio guy. It was, God, I don't remember where he was. It was, I had an audience member. His name is Nick. Nick W. reached out and said, there's a radio guy in some town, I think it's Kansas City, who super popular. He just got shit canned. Can you, and I kind of know him, can you help him with this, with what you're doing? I go, of course. You know? And so I tell him, I go, here's my number. Give it to him. Radio guy calls me. So he's desperate. He's sad. We have this conversation. I start to explain to him what's up, because he did a Patreon and like 25 people signed up. And he was disheartened by that. He goes, how am I going to do this? And I said, well, there is no quick fix. So get that out of your brain. You have to build it a little bit every single day. And there is no shortcut. It's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of energy. It doesn't necessarily take a lot of money. But your sweat equity, there's value in that. And he goes, well, I'm 62 years old. How am I going to do that? And the back of my head, I'm thinking, oh, you're fucked. Like, dude, you've been doing it your whole life, and you're acting like you forgot. Okay? You know what to do. You just don't want to do the work. So, honestly, that's what it is, you know? My God. I think you guys here know more about this than the average radio guy. Like, when I started this, I had a cell phone, a microphone, and a notebook computer. It was teeny tiny with no computing power. It was so bad that the audio that I would record, it would be glitchy. Like, it sounded weird. But I had to do it. So Facebook, a cell phone, and a desktop or a notebook-style computer. I had this. I had this little mixer, which costs about $150. Still works, by the way. And these shitty microphones. And that was it. I was in business. Tophus says, part of the charm of this show is you yelling at your audience. You did that back on the free beer and whore show. Tophus adds, TikTok, Instagram, advertise yourself on every bit of social media you can get a hold of. Chris says, a person can learn the tech as you go. Easy was using a laptop and his phone at first. There you go. That's what I was talking about. Just jump and you'll learn to build the plane as you go. I was talking with this radio guy over the weekend. And I convinced these people to take the meeting. Like, I had to, honestly, I said, look, we need to do this. They're like, why? I go, you need to prepare yourself. In the event something terrible happens, the last thing you want is to be figuring it out with all that stress of having gotten shit canned. So take care of it now and just leave it dormant. And then radio guy says, well, how many people can we get? And I go, asshole, you're on step F. I'm on step A. You should be on step A. Literally, all you have to do is shut the fuck up and listen. I did all this. I know everything there is to know about this. And I did it after I got fucking fired. You're not fired. In fact, you're doing great. But I'm just telling you, the industry as a whole is going to fuck your asshole. Because of that, you should be prepared. And one of the reasons why I want you to do it is because I don't want to get that fucking call 1 minute after you get fired. Come help me. You want to have that shit down, man. God damn. Chris says, I used to record in the night for the next day. It feels so weird now. Credit to Rick over at TC Paintball, who I suggested I start in the morning and do it every day as a morning show. That was his suggestion. And had I not taken on the morning show at Q100 in Northern Michigan, I'd still be doing it that way. But obviously, I've been adding things to my plate as time has gone on. And I'm just glad that you guys still pay attention to this show with the change in the start time back in March. Okay. Anyway, I do want to mention the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. I was just talking with Mario, and he said, EZ, the new thing is the elusive $200,000 house. Kevin Kuipers will tell you. He's our beloved audience member here. The home prices are trying to squeeze out the people who want to get in with a first home purchase. Okay? Because not everybody off the jump can afford that. That's asking a lot, you know? Now, there is a way for you to get started with that first loan to get that $200,000 and up house. It's the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Just when you think, man, I just can't do it. What I want you to do is suspend belief for a moment and sit down with the professionals at the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage and let them determine how much a home you can buy. All right? True, you might have to do some budgeting to make sure that you have the best options available. Maybe cut out a few things, except the Eric Zane Show podcast. 231-332-6505. That's 231-332-6505 from anywhere in the U.S. Mario can help you. 231-332-6505. Tax time right around the corner. My date is March 3rd. No matter where you are in the U.S., your tax guy is Tag Accounting. Online at tagcpa.net. When you go there, you'll see on the homepage on this hands-in website, here's a contact info. You can call 616-301-9516 or go to Troy at tagcpa.net. And you can get started when that email starts, that email chain starts, or the phone call takes place. Please mention Eric Zane sent me from his podcast, Can Troy Do My Taxes? Yes, he can. Anywhere in the U.S., Troy can do your taxes for you. 616-301-9516. He's been doing our taxes for years. He does the NFK's taxes. He does Madison's taxes. He doesn't do Jackie's because her husband, my son-in-law, is an accountant. Anyway, tagcpa.net. Speaking of money, I'm just learning what Doge stands for. I guess one of the people that Trump has working for him is Elon Musk. And I guess he is in something known as the Department of Government Efficiency. Isn't Doge a cryptocurrency? Anyway, Musk has been going through a lot of the things that the United States government gives money to line by line. And they're redlining a number of those things that the U.S. would spend on. And they're very gratuitous in their cuts. Like the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, is one of them. And basically, they're wiping out all the spending that the U.S. is doing. This is part of Trump's Make America Great Again. Trump has Musk going ahead and wiping out what the U.S. does for other countries. Now, and when you look at it, from what the White House is telling you, and I don't know what's right or what's wrong or what's good or what's bad. I'm just telling you what is being talked about. When you look at what the White House is reporting, the White House, you look at like, yeah, it's ridiculous what we've been spending money on. $75,000 a day for Al-Qaeda buffet. All these crazy, it's not quite that bold, but a lot of things that are, You're like, oh my God, what are we? Why are we spending money on this? So, from the White House's standpoint, it's all things that you look at and say, well, we shouldn't be spending money on those things. But there are other things. It's not quite so cut and dry. Like there's a story of the Vatican's. The Vatican is outraged at reckless U.S. aid cuts, says millions will die and others will be left in poverty. Pope Francis is the point man on development aid, insisting that the Trump administration remember Christian principles about caring for others as it begins governing. Cardinal Michael Czerny, a Czech-born Canadian Jesuit, is one of the cardinals most closely associated with Pope Francis's pontificate and heads the Vatican office responsible for migrants. So, you know, humanitarian aid, things like that. And you have a lot of these charitable organizations that count on the U.S. For support so that they can distribute the money and whatnot. And Trump has said, basically, go fuck yourself. And like 100% wiping out funding that would help people. So I guess I ask, this should surprise, I mean, does this surprise any of you? I would think that this surprises no one. Chris says the Vatican has plenty of cash. Why don't they take up the slack? It's a great question. I don't claim to know about any of this, nor do I have a dog in the fight. I'm just talking about it as a something that, to talk about, that actually is happening right now. I know this. Trump is all about walling us off from the rest of the world. All right? All in an effort to, quote unquote, make America great again. Now, I don't know how saving billions of dollars is going to affect you and I. Because now, if suddenly Trump turns around and says, all right, I am no longer supporting cancer research, which I think kind of is on the table. All right. All right. And other types of charitable things that are being tossed about as getting wiped out so that the U.S. Won't be assisting in these measures. But does it go now that we all get like huge checks as Americans? Because I would guess no. And if all of that money is being wiped out that we are spending to other entities in humanitarian ways, and that suddenly stops, what the hell's happening to the money? I don't know. So for all of you Trumpers out there who think, yeah, this is what's going to make America great again, wiping out all the humanitarian aid for poor countries, ask yourself, what the fuck are they doing with all that extra money now? Because if it's not going in your pocket, what the fuck are you so happy about? Trump is also saying he is very, very serious about the United States being part of the takeover of Canada. He talked about this yesterday in a Super Bowl interview. And the reason why he wants to do it is because of Canada's natural resources. He says Canada would be better off being the 51st state because we lose $200 billion a year with Canada, and I'm not going to let that happen. Why are we paying $200 billion a year essentially as a subsidy for Canada? And it's not a subsidy. Like, that's what Canada has, the natural resources. We pay them for it, and we use it. You know, when Trump says stupid shit like, we're 100% independent, we don't need any of Canada's energy and their natural resources, that's bullshit. We absolutely need it. Trump wants Canada to be part of the United States so that we don't have to pay the $200 billion. Again, it's about the money. Okay, great. I can appreciate that. I actually don't mind a president that's into cutting costs like a good conservative should, and utilizing that money to help better America. But there's no fucking way this is going to happen. Trudeau said Friday that Trump's talk of making Canada the 51st state was a real thing. And he talked about that. They're very aware of our resources that we have, and they very much want to be able to benefit from those. Trump has said, you know, this is the key thing. They don't pay at all for their military. And the reason why they don't pay for it is they assume that we're going to protect him. Now, that comment right there is 1,000,000% correct. Out of everything you've heard so far today, that right there is true. He says that's not an assumption they can make, because why are we protecting another country? Now, I'll give Trump this. This falls right in line with everything that he campaigned on. Us, fuck everybody else. Now, if you like that, you're happy. If you don't like that, you're not happy. But that's what he's doing. In the Fox interview, which was pre-taped, he talked about he has not seen enough action from Canada and Mexico to stave off the tariffs he has threatened to impose on the country's two largest trading partners once the 30-day extension is up. So is that right that Canada, they are on the extension? I didn't know that that was. I didn't know that was the thing. He says, no, it's not good enough. Something has to happen. It's not sustainable, and I'm changing it. Are we going to invade Canada? My God. Can you imagine if that actually takes place? We invade Canada. It's also important to point out that Trump, in an effort to save money, has ordered the Treasury Department to stop making pennies. Now, out of all of the moves that Trump has talked about or made, you would have to agree that this one makes the most sense. There isn't anyone that is hearing this or will hear it, or anyone in the world who could be opposed to a process to create a one penny, to create one penny worth 1 cent, and it costs 3.7 cents to make each penny. For the last 19 years, the United States, the making of all the pennies every year has been more than what the value of the coin is for 19 straight years. Most of the penny is made from zinc. It's plated in copper. It costs the United States. Anybody want to guess how much money it costs the United States for us to make pennies? I'm getting out the calculator here because I want to do some easy math. In the last 19 years, it has cost the United States $3,268,000,000 to make pennies. We lose $172 million a year to make the fucking penny. So Trump has said, all right, no more. Now, I love this. This is fantastic. This is a great move. However, he can tell the Treasury Department to stop making them, but he can't outlaw the coin. Like, he can't make it go away completely. That would take an act of Congress. But who in their right mind would be like, no, we got to save the penny? God damn it. If you were to go ahead and add up all the numbers from U.S. aid that have been wiped out, the dollars and cents, not to mention things like the cost of pennies, the amount of money that the U.S. will have that we were spending before is going to be astronomical. Like, after Musk gets done, like, the U.S. is only going to have, like, about $50 a year that we spend on just shit. You've got a number of federal workers that have been urged to take early retirement or retire just outright. My God, this is all what Trump had decided he wanted to do. Now, I can't say for sure whether this is the right thing or the wrong thing, but I will say this. This is exactly what this asshole said he was going to do. So, if you voted for Trump, you have to be happy with what he's done. Tophus says, Cole says lots of convicted felons out there with no prison time. I don't know what that means. Tophus says New York State isn't his political opponent. Biden didn't have him indicted. The state of New York did. He won't serve time now because nobody will indict a sitting president, which is half the reason he ran for president. Piano Finger Banger says, dude, that's the whole reason he ran again. And Tophus says he's a piece of shit and you and your fellow cultists love him because he hates the same things you do, period. Yeah, I don't know about that. I know that there are a lot of people who think Trump is an asshole who voted for him because of the economics of things. It isn't. I don't think it's so cut and dry that everyone who voted for Trump is discriminatory. I do not believe that either. I would say a lot of them do, but I don't think that's Trump. I think that a lot of the people that voted for him feel that way, but I don't believe that. All right. Before we get to the asshole of the day, and I'm going to need nominations for the asshole of the day, by the way. So if you have an asshole of the day, I'll tell you who I won't have it be. It won't be Trump. It won't be Taylor Swift. That's about it. If you have a nomination, please leave it, and we will go from there. TC Paintball, the paintball destination in the Midwest. Reach out. You can go to their website, tcpaintballgr.com, and see what's cooking. Book an event for your crew. Might be some workplace team building, perhaps the neighborhood kids getting together, bachelor party, you name it. Just to have a good time. TCPaintballGR.com, indoor or outdoor, they do it all. And they do play outdoor in the winter. It just depends on what you want to do. If you're cool with braving the cold, they'll definitely set you up out there. TCPaintballGR.com. The cannabis shop in West Michigan that I want you to frequent is The Green Medicine Shop at thegreenmedicineshop.com. They are awesome. 21 and up, rec, 18 and up, medicinal. Open 7 days a week till 9 p.m. All sales stop at 8:45. Their website, thegreenmedicineshop.com. You can find them in Greenville, Michigan. You could go to any shop in the area, but I'm asking you to go to the Green Medicine Shop. Maybe you're kind of curious. You're like, hey, you know what? I might want to get high, but I'm a little scared. I'm a little anxious about doing something like this. Perhaps the folks over there can help me. Good news. Shawnee is a pharmacist. I mean, that's what she does. That's her trade, pharmacy. She got into selling cannabis. Her and her husband, Matt, they're awesome. Great local business. The Green Medicine Shop in Greenville, Michigan. Finally today, Frank Fuss from MyPolicyShop.com. Frank can help you get into a healthcare plan through healthcare.gov. Now, you can do this on your own if you just go to healthcare.gov, but it's a pain in the ass, and you might screw it up. Have Frank help you. He can help you every step of the way. Just go to buyinsurancehere.com, and he will get you started. People who take advantage of healthcare.gov are people without healthcare from an employer who maybe are, maybe their employer doesn't offer healthcare. Perhaps they're in between jobs or self-employed like me. That's how you get your healthcare, through Obamacare. which is found at healthcare.gov, which is all different kinds of healthcare plans. It's up to you to find the right one. Frank will do that for you, and it costs you nothing. Zero costs at at buyinsurancehere.com. Frank will help you out. All right. Cole says hilariously, I voted for Trump to see the reaction of people like Tofus. Tofus says that Trump supporters are going to find out that they made a bad decision. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that he would have to basically take a shit and do the opposite of what they believe. And I think he's going to keep doing what you're seeing right now for the next 3 years and 11 months. I like this. Jeremy says, asshole of the day, Cole and Tofus for hijacking the chat. Yeah, that's something that does happen. People get so wound up and they get into fights and start screaming and yelling. It's not bad. I mean, it's not bad to make them assholes of the day. Yeah, you guys kind of are assholes. You know that? But we love you. Cole and Tofus, congratulations. You're the assholes of the day for hijacking the chat. All right. Thank you, folks. That is the end of the Eric Zane Show podcast. I will be joining you later on Patreon. You can sign up for free at patreon.com/Eric Zane. Till then. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.